Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
For in this last season, you believe the word of the Lord told you that it was a time of promise. There was a time of great breakthrough and that you were entering into a promised land. And the Lord says today that indeed, this is a time for your promised land. And your feet are grounded and put on the land that God intended you to live on. But in this last season, there's been fighting. There's been turmoil. There's been pain. And it's made you question, am I on the promised land? Is this what God intended for me? And the Lord says this, that there were giants in the land that I promised you. And they needed to be rid of. They needed to be addressed and they needed to be removed. And the Lord says today this, as I'm clearing the giants from the land. That time of fighting was not because you did something wrong. That time of fighting was not because of sin. It's because I was removing the giants out of your land. I was removing the things that need not be there so I could bring a season of blessing. A season of rest, a season of vision, a season of new life and new strength, for I am doing a new thing. Now, I encourage you now to set a line of demarcation in this new promised land. It's a time where we put down our swords now and we say, Lord, speak, Father. Lord, give me rest, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, Lord God. I inhabit the land that you gave me. Surely, Lord God, you are good. And this season will be blessed. Praise the Lord. You agree with that? Give the Lord a shout. Praise your Lord.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Now, there's a teaching outline right next to you on the chair. Let's grab it and get into the Word of God. I want to welcome you guys into the sanctuary. We're in this series here called One Day. If you're listening online, awesome to have you there in the cafe, enjoying your beverages. That's great. Family lounge. People are joining us from all over the world, joining us in Santa Rosa. And we're excited that you are a part of this teaching series on the end times that's called One Day. Now, this is actually the last message in this six-part series. And I hope it's true what they say about saving the best for the last. I hope this is the best message. But it's going to be kind of hard to top some of the great subjects that we've seen. We've been looking at the rapture, which is the sudden catching away of the church that's on the earth at the return of Jesus Christ. When he comes, we've been looking at his physical, literal appearing, that Christ himself is going to split the skies and come for us, the return of Jesus Christ. We've looked at the resurrection. Not the resurrection of Christ, but the resurrection of the church, the general resurrection, that all of us, whether we are lost or saved, will be receiving eternal bodies. Both lost and saved will be receiving eternal bodies because we are not equipped to enter into eternity, but we will. And so all of that, I mean, some interesting stuff about worldwide revival, too, that we're anticipating a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the end times. We are in the end times, but I cannot finish this series about the end times without talking about rewards. Because as we come to the wrap-up of history, there's something huge on the agenda of God, and it's not just the rapture, and it's not just revival, and it's not just resurrection, but it's about rewards that God wants to bring into our lives. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 18, the Living Bible, maybe you could read this with me. This is our text. This is our verse. So let's read. Day by day, the Lord observes the good deeds done by godly men and gives them what? Eternal rewards. God is a reward God. And our message is just very simple, that at the end of time, in the end days, God has prepared the granting of great rewards to those who serve him. And I want us to know that we can live with hope and we can look forward to this, knowing that one day God is going to give his people eternal rewards. Does that sound good to you? Now, God is a rewarder. He's a God of rewards. I don't know if you guys have joined your grocery store rewards club or your airlines rewards club, but let me tell you, God has a rewards club that far exceeds anything that you've ever dreamed or imagined. And we find the message of rewards all through the Bible. In fact, I could find at least 70 verses that promise that God brings reward into our lives. God said to Abraham, I'm your exceeding great reward. Job declared that God repays man according to his work, and he makes man to find a reward according to his way. David, King David, said, in keeping with your word, there is great reward. His son, Solomon, the wisest king of Israel, promised, he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. On this Labor Day, all of the working men and women need to know that Isaiah proclaimed, I've labored and spent my strength for nothing, he said, yet surely my just reward is with the Lord. I want to let you know, if you've worked in the marketplace and maybe you haven't been rewarded as you thought you should be or as you expected to be, that even though man may not always reward, God is a rewarder and that he is faithful. And he has some blessings for you. Jeremiah heard God say, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, he said. The writer of Hebrews said, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in story after story, built upon the Sermon on the Mount where he said, blessed are you. And he said again, rejoice and be glad, for great is your what? Reward in heaven. And then he taught again and again, parable and story, an analogy after analogy about how God will reward the faithfulness of his servants, of those who pray, of those who give. This was the message of Christ in the Gospels, that God has rewards for us. So I'm looking at this and I'm studying now the end times and thinking, what does God have prepared for us who have served him? The end times can be, you know, a scary topic, but I want you to know that the end times are times of great reward. And the way all of history is going to culminate is with great rewards being given out to the people of God. So my aim, and I hope it's your aim, is to live a life on earth that God can reward in heaven. Because it really does matter how we live today. It really does matter the choices that we make. It really does matter the attitudes that we nurture and nourish in our hearts toward God and toward one another. It really does matter what we say about one another and whether we're obedient to the scriptures and what we do in life. There really are consequences that are positive if we are obedient to the Lord, if we live a certain kind of life. And I want to challenge every one of you. You are saved by grace. If you have Christ in your heart and the blood of Jesus has washed away all your sins, and there is therefore now no condemnation to anyone who is in Christ. Amen. And yet, as powerful as the grace message is and as important as the grace message is, we cannot say that all people will be rewarded equally, because God has rewards for those that pay the price. God has rewards for those who try. God has rewards for those who hang on during the tough times. And I want us to look at some of these rewards, and I want to challenge you and provoke you. If you've been kind of cruising spiritually, if you've been kind of taking it easy and cruising on the grace train, that's a wonderful ride, but I want to let you know that there are some blessings that will come in your life as a result of your focus, as a result of your obedience to Christ, and as a result of your sacrifices for him. Live a life now that God can reward in heaven, because Think about it. Why does he reward? He rewards because he wants to provoke us to live a certain way now. Not just to say, oh yeah, it all comes easy. It all just comes free. It doesn't all come free. A great price has been paid. And now we enter into that lifestyle of discipleship and following after Jesus, picking up our cross and walking our faith out day by day. And God says, when you do that, I will reward you mightily. Does that sound all right? Now, the greatest scene in heaven, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to rewards, is the scene that we find in Revelation chapter 4. This is somewhere in eternity. We know that this takes place because the Holy Spirit showed John the Revelator. The book of Revelation is the last book concerning primarily the end times and the revelation of Jesus. And John saw this. The Holy Spirit empowered him to see these things. And again, it shows us the reward of, the theme of rewards. In verses 10 and 11, it says, and they worship the one who lives forever. By the way, let me just stop right there and just say to you that if worship makes you nervous, you're going to be kind of jumpy in heaven. Because there's a lot of worship going on in heaven, all right? So you may as well just enjoy times of extended worship. Just learn to lift your voice and sing, because you're in a great practice session for what you're going to be doing in eternity right now, which is worshiping the Lord. They worship the one who lives forever. And then it says, and they placed their, what? Crowns in front of the throne. And they began to say, oh, our Lord God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Let me tell you what's ahead for you, something that will give you hope. If you're in Christ, there's a day that's coming that you're going to stand in his presence and you're going to be feeling his amazing, unbelievable love. It's going to be melting you. It's going to be warming you like the sun striking your skin. You're going to be tangibly lifted by the presence of Jesus. And you're going to be worshiping, not because a worship leader says, let's sing it one more time, only this time let's sing it with all of our hearts. No one's going to have to provoke you to worship in heaven. And I'll tell you why. Because one day, you're going to have such eternal clarity in the presence of Christ. There's going to be no more questions in your mind like, Lord, why didn't this happen the way I wanted it to happen? Lord, why this valley? Why this season of suffering? Lord, why didn't you answer the prayer when I wanted you to answer prayer? Lord, how come I never was able to do this? Or Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? You're going to stand one day before Christ, and all those questions are going to be perfectly answered to your satisfaction. You're going to be overwhelmed with how gracious and loving God appears to you in the light of eternity. You're never going to question his goodness. You're never going to say, oh, Lord, you should have done this, but you didn't do it, and I'm mad at you, and I didn't believe, and I was right, and I shouldn't have believed you. You're going to say, oh, my God, now I see your plan, Lord. Now I see that you loved me all the time. You were there for me all the time. Lord, you do everything perfectly. I grew up without a father, but, Lord, that was a part of your plan. Lord, I went through this valley, but now I see it, and it was your love, and it was your grace, and you kept me, and you preserved me. And the only way that you're going to be able to express your unbelievable love and gratitude to Jesus is exactly the way these saints and elders did. You're going to take your crown, which is a reward. See, the Bible message of crowns is not kings. We are kings and priests, and that's okay. But this particular crown is called Estephanos. It's a prize to the winner of a race. It's a laurel that goes around the head. And it's a crown to people that arrive, to people that win, to people that are victorious. And this crown, this reward, this prize, which somehow you and I will receive in heaven, suddenly the thought is going to be, I don't deserve glory. I don't deserve credit. This belongs to Jesus. And you're going to throw this crown down before him. And you're going to worship, holy, holy, holy. Lord God, I see that you were there for me all the time. Lord, I only finish because of your grace and because of your love. Hallelujah. One day, everything's going to make sense to you. One day, you're going to have an answer. One day, that delay is going to look like love. One day, every question that you had about his love for you is going to be settled deep in your heart. And the only thing that's going to be left when all your questions are gone is total reverence and adoration for Jesus. I tell you, heaven is going to be a place of worship. It's going to be a place of casting down our crowns. I'll never forget, some years ago, I blew out my knee and I had to have a surgery and go through rehab. And I went to this rehab clinic where they had assigned me to go to the rehab doctor. And it turned out he was a Christian. He asked me what I did for a living. And I told him, of course. And he said, can I ask you a question? He says, do your church, do they worship for a long time? And I said, well, I think probably in the range of churches, ours would be a little bit longer. We love to sing. We take time to sing. And he described his church to me. It's a prominent church in our city, which I'm familiar with. And it is not known for long worship. So I was surprised when he said to me, yeah, he said, man, our church just worships for a long time too. And I said, really? That's surprising to me from what I knew about the church. I hadn't heard that. I said, well, how long do they worship? And he said, oh, it's like 8 or 10 minutes. And I said, well, I don't think you'd like our church very much because we could spend 20, 25, 30 minutes sometimes in worship depending on the Sunday. But imagine in heaven when it just goes on and on and on. So try not to get jumpy with worship on earth, because in heaven we're really going to be worshiping God, and there won't be clocks either. So think about it now. How did these saints and elders get these crowns? They were rewarded. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes, if I can. I want to help us to see at least 5 crowns in Scripture. Scriptural crowns that are talked about. There may be more. But these are 5 that I believe many of us can look forward to. And maybe this message will encourage you to continue on in your following of Jesus Christ as a faithful servant of God. The first crown, the first reward that you can get in heaven is called the incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9 describes this crown. It says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, Paul said. He said, they do it to get a, what? A crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. I don't know if you can see this crown. I began to describe to you the Stephanos, the laurel, which is like it's a plant. It's made from plant material, right? And it was granted to those who won the race. Maybe like the roses that you got last Valentine's Day. After a few days or weeks, that plant material, that Stephanos, would crumble and become dry and be lifeless. We say, Paul is talking about people who train, and they go into training and exercising, and they work, and they focus and they dedicate their lives for one moment of a race. And if they win the race, then they get this laurel that goes around their head. They're the winner. They get the prize, right? But immediately that thing starts rotting and breaking down and decomposing. And how hard they work, Paul says, for a crown that fades away. But he says the crown that you're working for in your race in life, that crown that you're training for, that you're applying yourself toward, that crown will last forever. It is an incorruptible crown. You see, the things that we associate with God, the things that we do for eternity, those things never fade away. When you're working on your spiritual life, when you're praying and living for God and becoming more and more like Christ, that doesn't fade away. You get to keep that forever. When God heals you and blesses you, when he speaks to you, you get to keep that forever. Every time he says, I love you, every time he makes a promise to you, that never fades away. And when God gives you a gift and when he gives you a blessing, it's not something that fades away. It's something that remains eternal. You keep it forever. And so I want to encourage you, if you're striving for school, that's awesome. If you're striving for your career, that's great. You should. You should invest in yourself. Make yourself better. Be the best that you can be. But don't neglect the spiritual part of your life, because that's the eternal part of your life. That's the part that never ends. Your job will end. Your schooling will end. Your career will end. Even your marriage and your family will end. Nobody lives forever, right? But at some point, we want to live for eternity. We want to labor and train for that which is eternal and to inherit those things. It's like the author of Hebrews said in chapter 12. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that trips us up. What's slowing you down? What's tripping you up? Lay it aside, strip it off, and run the race with endurance. The race that God has set before us. I like to think of each person having their own race. I stopped a long time ago trying to compare myself to other ministers. Compare my ministry to somebody else, or, you know, do it like somebody else. That's their race. I got to run my race. I have my own assignment. Your assignment is likely very different than the assignment of the person sitting right next to you. And we do so much comparison, and we do so much pressuring each other to be, you've got to be like this, and you're not good enough like that. But actually, if we understand that in this race, it's not really a race against each other. It's not a competition for who's going to get there first. The race is not about coming in first or last. The race is about finishing our course. The assignment that God has given to us. See, what's your assignment? What has God given to you? What is the race you're supposed to be running? Stop looking at your neighbor. Stop thinking about whether they're ahead of you or behind you or like you or different than you. Just get in your lane. Let them be in their lane, right? And then keep running and finish the race. And then you get the reward. You get the Stephanos at the end. And when you encounter things that slow you down or hold you back, you got to think real hard about whether that's something that needs to be stripped off. Something that, if it's going to take you out of that race that causes you to win, you don't need it. Sin will do that to you. Say, well, I don't want to sin because it displeases God. That's a great way to look at sin. But also, you should look at sin as something that slows you down. Something that breaks your stride and jeopardizes your victory. So you shed it, you strip it off. Now you say, oh, now maybe I understand why the Lord doesn't want me to connect with sin. Because it is that which slows me down and keeps me from winning and achieving my potential. So there's an incorruptible crown for those of us that are willing to run. Let me just say this before we move to the next crown. Eternal rewards. It's not about beating your friend. It's not about being like somebody else. Eternal rewards about mastering ourselves to live a victorious life. It's about managing yourself. I know the enemy's your opponent. I know he wants to stop you. But it's sad when the greatest opponent in our whole life is ourself. In our own mind, in our own ways of thinking. God, deliver us from those things that keep us from mastering ourselves. And if we just sit on the bench and just cry, grace, grace, it's all by grace, and we don't run, and we don't employ strict discipline and training, it's not that we won't be in heaven, but we may not get the crown. The crown is for those that run. The crown is for those that finish. The crown is for those that discipline themselves. I encourage you in your Christian life. Maybe you've been cruising. Maybe you're just kind of slipping and sliding, you know? Maybe just letting somebody else do the heavy lifting for you. Oh, my wife, she's the prayer warrior, you know? Oh, you know, my dad, you know, he's always praying for me. What about you? What about your race? Stay in that race and run like it matters. Live a life that God can reward in eternity. The second crown I want to mention to you Because this stuff is important. It's in the scriptures, the crown of life. I love this one. We read about it in James chapter 1, verse 12. You've heard of this one before. It's the crown of life. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to who? To those who love him. You know, life is full of tests. You might be in a test right now. Here's a test. God makes you a promise. You do your part, and then he doesn't do his part. Well, I gave, but I didn't receive. Well, I tithed, but God didn't open the windows of heaven. Well, I prayed, but I wasn't healed. Now, let's look at this, right? Let's look at this carefully. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. What's on trial? Your faith. Are you going to believe in the hard times? It's easy to believe in the smooth times. Oh, we're full of faith when the bank account is full and everybody's praising us. Whoa, Pastor David, you are awesome. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It's easy to feel good when things are good. You're going to get a raise. You're going to get a bonus. Happy birthday. Here's 1,200 cards. We love you. All right. Those are nice times to rejoice. Let's enjoy all that. But what about when life isn't working so smooth? What about when we're feeling a little forgotten or a little stressed out or a little pressured or we got a few questions about God and his whole plan thing? What about when we didn't get the raise or we didn't get the girl? Or we didn't get the 3-bedroom house. We got a 1-bedroom studio. On the wrong part of town. Where are you, God? Right? Well, who's the crown for? The crown is for those who push through the hard times. I like what T.D. Jakes said a few years ago. I heard him say this. He said, I don't care about your song when things are going good. I want to know what song you're singing when things don't go well. I want to know, are you praising him and loving him when he doesn't fulfill your expectations? See, that's the time we have to lift our hands and say, Lord, I love you anyhow. I don't understand, and it hurts, and I'm confused, but I'm not going to stop praising you. In that moment, that's when heaven joins earth. That's when we connect to our eternal glory casting, crown casting. We say, we know one day it's all going to make perfect sense and we're going to be blown away. And we just enter into that kind of worship right here and now. We praise him in the midst of the trial. Blessed is the man who perseveres. And this crown is for those who love him. Do you love him when he's Santa Claus? Do you love him when he's your butler? When he does everything you want him to do? How about when he doesn't do it the way you want him to do? Blessed is the man that goes through the temptation, the pressure, and still loves the Lord. Amen. Jesus knows about this crown. By the way, he never asked you and I to do anything he hasn't modeled for us. You think it was always easy for Jesus? You think it felt good all the time? The Father's plan felt great to him all the time? When they were ripping his beard out of his face and spitting into his face and beating him with rods. He wore a crown, but it wasn't a victor's crown. It was a crown of thorns. And he pressed through that hard time. Why? Out of love for us. Amen. He was laying down his life for us so that we could have access to God's forgiveness in eternity. That's the simple message of the gospel, that Christ suffered for us so that the wages of our sin, which is death, would not be paid or due payable by us. It's already been paid. We're forgiven, and all we have to do is receive this beautiful gift of eternal life, right? But that wasn't easy. And blessing doesn't always come easy. Sometimes you have to go through the hard times to get to the good stuff. And if Christ had to suffer, then once in a while, if we have to suffer, out of love. You suffer every time you have a child and you raise a child. You suffer in marriage. You suffer in ministry. You suffer in whatever the will of God is for you. There's no free ticket. There's no exemption. Whatever you do that's worthwhile, there will be suffering built into it. Stay steady during the tough times. Keep loving God. Keep loving your children. Keep loving your spouse. Keep loving the church. I'm so sick and tired. I got to tell you, if I'm your Facebook friend, don't post things about how much you hate the church. I'm going to unfriend you. I'm not talking about our church. People just get on Facebook and say all the nasty, crazy shortcomings of the church and all that. Like the church is their enemy. Really? Really, the church is your enemy? For real? Delete. I mean, honestly, I'm giving my life for the church. I love the church. Jesus bled and died for the church. Jesus washes the church. The church is his bride. If you got a problem with the church, you and I aren't so good. I don't have anything for you. Let's stop the making our husband the enemy, making the church our enemy, making everybody's our enemy. Just a minute. You're in a trial. Just hold steady. Just trust God. He'll get you through it. And there's a crown of life at the end. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to finish this message successfully on time, because I'm only on crown number two. Let me just say this. Eternal rewards await those who love Jesus in the hard times. It's easy to love him in the easy times. You're saved no matter. If you're in Christ, you're saved. But if you want the crown, you got to love him in the hard times. Third, the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2 says, what gives us hope and joy and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before the Lord when he returns? What will that be? It is you. Paul says, you're my crown. My spiritual children, my fruit in ministry, the fruit of my loom. You are my crown. In other words, what Paul is saying is, here's what I'm working for. Here's what I'm laboring for. I'm not laboring for wealth and prosperity. The real prize is people. The real prize is souls. The most exciting moment in heaven is when the Bible says all the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. We heard earlier in the service that our vision as a church is changed lives, transformed lives. What a great goal for us to keep in front of us, that Jesus wants to change people's lives. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here to be babysat. We are here to be changed, and we are here to help other people experience God change in their life. Transformation, to go from old to new, to go from dead to alive. Then when a sinner repents and his life begins to change, and every time a person in our lives change, that releases joy in heaven. And I want to tell you that so much of our joy and our reward in heaven will be related to the souls that we led to Christ. I don't know how else to say it. I want to encourage you to lead other people to God. See yourself as an influencer. Maybe it'll be with a stranger. You know, maybe it'll be with somebody that you meet, and somehow miraculously you'll be able to lead them to Christ instantaneously. That's not probably the norm. Most of our leading people to the Lord should not be done by professional ministers or whatever. It's just a process of walking with people and loving them and golfing them one stroke at a time, just a little bit closer to the cup. Just moving people step by step, just gradually closer to the Lord. Hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, I love you. Hey, I notice you're not feeling well. Can I pray for you? You know, the Lord is He's a gracious God. He'll forgive you. I know you're ashamed. Then why don't you come to church? Why don't you join us? Hey, join us for Men's Sunday with Mark Strong, you know? Join us for friends and family time. You know, you start bringing people into gospel, into God, into God's house, and that is something so special. I'll tell you, a lot of you know, Kathy and I, we love Maui. We've been going there 25 years. My family has a place there, and so that's where we go. And there's a place up in Lahaina. there's an old, I think it's a 200-year-old banyan tree. It's a kind of a famous place in the park there. And a lot of times when we go to Lahaina, a lot of you have been there, you'll see a guy with a white beard. He looks like Elijah. And he's got a car, and he's exotic. You know, he's different. I'll admit that. He's a character, and he's preaching the gospel. And almost as long as we've been going to Maui, this guy, I mean, he's weathered. He's out in the sun. And he's just, he's a character, but he's out there preaching. And he's just preaching, repent, and Jesus is coming. And, you know, at first you go, ooh, you know, that's kind of different and weird. But, you know, over the years, actually, when I go to Lahaina, sometimes I think, I wonder if he's here. Because I think year after year, he's in his lane. He's doing his assignment. That's not my assignment. My banyan tree is here, and my job is a little different. But this guy, somehow he's found his place in the world, and he's doing it for Jesus. And you know what? I think the guy's got a crown coming. People that mock him and spit at him and all that. Let's be very careful about how snooty we can be toward people that are doing it a little bit differently than we're doing it, right? Because he don't work for us. He works for God, right? God's going to evaluate him. God's going to help him. If he's doing something wrong, hopefully the Lord will adjust him the way he'd been adjusting me. And I'm praying he'll adjust you the way he's been adjusting me, because why should you get off easy? Listen, let me just say it this way. There's no greater joy than leading others to Christ. Now, there's the fourth crown, the crown of glory. This one, pastors, elders, I'll just say this real fast. Thank you so much. People that work with children and youth, thank you for shepherding lives. There's a crown for you. Shepherd the flock of God, the Bible says, serving as overseers, be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the what? The crown of glory. This one is for lovers of people. The people that take care of the sheep. Can I say this to you just quickly in this point? God loves you so much that he rewards the people who take care of you. And if you're called to be a shepherd, an elder, a mentor to young people, you got rewards coming to you. And you hang in there. You stay faithful to that job. And God will reward you. Finally, the crown of righteousness. This one, can't think of a better one to end with. Now we're going to have Holy Spirit time here in worship, and I'm going to pray for you. But I want to just tell you about the crown of righteousness. Paul described it at the end of his life. He writes these words from a prison. He knows he's days or maybe minutes away from being beheaded in the custom of Rome. He sees the writing on the wall. He's reflecting on his life. And he says, Timothy, maybe this is the last time we're going to talk, but here's the deal. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. I'm not about to lose my life. Paul says, I lost my life a long time ago. I gave it all away. He says, I've finished the race, and I have remained what? I wasn't successful, I wasn't beautiful, I wasn't fashionable, I wasn't popular. Those are goals for fools. Here's the goal of a wise person. I was faithful. And now, a prize awaits me. A crown of righteousness. What do you think about that? Here's some advice. You want to live for Jesus? Make it your goal to live full die empty. Leave it on the field, believer. Worshiper, intercessor, small group leader, faithful witness, prayer warrior, children's worker. Leave it all on the field. Receive everything. And one day, you're going to stand in heaven. In fact, I just invite you to stand right now. One day, you and I are going to stand in heaven. And we're going to hear music, some kind of music we've never heard before. And we're going to see Jesus. And with all our questions answered, with no more fear and no more doubt, everything making sense, no more questions, no more hurt, no more pinch inside, nothing but love. And if we've managed to finish well, which I pray we will, we'll be able to take that victor's crown and just say, Lord, it wasn't me, it was you. You are worthy of all honor, and you are worthy of glory. Can we just spend a few minutes here as we come to the end? Let's worship Jesus. Let's put our crowns before him. Let's love him. Just bow your heads, everybody. Lord, we're beginning to doubt our doubts. We're beginning to question our fears because we see your faithfulness, Lord. We're starting to rely on how gracious and how good you are. We're starting to believe you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for every person that's in a desert or a dry time or a waiting room, a place of delay, every person who hurts and grieves, Lord, I'm asking right now that faith would just bubble up within them and joy, Lord. And Father, I declare and I prophesy over the lives that are under my care, these men and women will finish strong for you, Lord. They will live full and die empty, Lord. They will be crowned. They will be blessed. You are a rewarder, Lord. Lord, release rewards and fruitfulness and blessing, Lord. Fabulous blessings that you have ahead for us, Lord. For day by day, you look upon the people that are following you and you give them eternal rewards. Lord, I pray that we would live lives that you can bless, that you can reward in eternity. I pray, Lord, grace and peace over your people in the strong name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'm just going to invite some elders and prayer leaders, if you would just come. We're going to have an opportunity for anybody that needs prayer just at the end of the service. Service is over and you'd like to be prayed for, or you need eternal life or a prayer of blessing. Some folks are going to be here. But before you go, I want to invite every person in this room, in the cafe, wherever you're listening, would you say this prayer with me? Come on, everyone, lift up your voice in prayer to God. Father God, thank you for the promise of eternal rewards. Jesus, more than anything, I want to live full and die empty for you. Be my Lord, say it again, be my Lord and Savior, and bless me as I run this race for you. In Christ's name, amen. Would you give Jesus a hand clap? Come on, let's thank the Lord for his goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We love each and every one of you. You are loved and you are needed and you are valued. If you need to be prayed for, that's important to us. So the men and women are here. Please come. And if I haven't met you, Kathy and I would love to shake your hand. There's ministry tables. All the information you heard about in the service is out on the tables. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.